Hello and welcome everyone to a mystical journey to the Sacred Sites Global Summit. We will journey to beautiful sacred sites with healers, shamans, scientists, doctors, wisdom keepers, and coaches to gain wisdom and healing to self, the collective, and our divine Mother Earth. During the course of this event, you will learn that a sacred site is not only an external place or structure, but also our own body. You may have heard of the term, your body is a temple. Therefore, we will also journey inwards to access our internal sacred sites, for example, our sacred heart. You will hear experts talk about their own healing journeys and the work they're doing to raise awareness and consciousness of individuals, the collective, as well as raising the vibrations of our great spiritual mother, Gaia, to create more joy, peace, and abundance for all sentient beings on our beautiful and divine planet, our home. I'm your host and the creator of this event, Ami Sohi. And before we begin, I would like to take this opportunity to thank Jocelyn Starfeather for her tremendous mentorship and guidance during the creation of this summit, without whom I would not be able to present today. I'm also very grateful to all my family and friends for their unconditional love and support throughout my journey. And last but not least, I'm very grateful to all of you for taking the time and having the courage to be here today. So thank you. Without further ado, I'm very excited and thrilled to present Kada Brown. Kada is the founder and director of Rites of Passage Council, an organization offering nature immersion, ceremonial encampments around the world. He's an internationally known ceremonialist, healer, intuitive, and teacher of psychological and spiritual awareness with over 35 years of professional experience. Over this time, Kada has developed an effective and unique approach to emotional and spiritual healing by braiding together his depth of clinical knowledge of experiential psychotherapies with more nature-based indigenous wisdom teachings and healing methods from around the world. In 1994, Kada apprenticed with Stephen Foster and Meredith Little at School of Lost Borders in the Sierra Nevada mountains in the form and process of the Vision Quest ceremony and eco-psychology. He has also apprenticed for many years with Dr. Melida Domasome, initiated elder and shaman of the Dagara tribe of Burkina Faso, West Africa. Kada has also had the honor and privilege to learn many valuable insights into healing from his apprenticeship with Cherokee elder and medicine person, Will Rocking Bear. I'd like to now read a fantastic testimonial from Dr. Soma, who's the author, teacher, and tribal elder of the Dagara tribe of West Africa. Dr. Soma says, "I have known Kada for a long time as a man of spirit with remarkable devotion to healing. He tends to his duty with royalty and ferocious commitment. As a man who hears the call of earth and nature, Kada extends his hand to those in quest of change and transformation and is always willing to lead them into and guide them through a deep sense of communion with themselves. Having worked with him in a number of rituals and ceremonies and watched carefully the way he gives of himself to spirit, I have come to respect his priestly devotion to the sacred in nature and in every human. His work deserves respect and reverence." That is so beautiful. Welcome, 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 Kada, to this
Thank you. Thank
to
you.
this
Thank you.
summit.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure and an honor to have you here.
Oh, the pleasure and honor is mine as well. Thank you, Ami. Excited to be here.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you, Kada. So, Kada, your topic for today is stories in the stones and ancestral threads of memory, healing, and belonging. So, could you tell us more about your chosen title? You know, why you chose this, and share more about your title.
I would like to first do an invocation, and given the theme of this summit and traveling to sacred places, I would like to speak an invocation to acknowledge this place and time and space that we are sitting in right now, and will later be sharing with others from around the world as a sacred time and place, as a sacred place. So I want to do a little invocation before we come back to that question. And I would invite everyone, if you will, close your eyes and take yourself to one of your favorite places in nature. And imagine yourself standing there greeting the rising sun. Take a deep breath, let it go. So we acknowledge and call upon the good medicine people of the East, the beautiful ones of the East, the place of the rising sun, the place of new beginnings and new starts, the place where we have let go of those old stories and we see again with new eyes the road ahead, the place of inspiration, connection, joy, hummingbird. The place where we step out on the path with curiosity and wonderment. So we call upon the good medicine people of the East to awaken within this global summit, within this very moment, those bone memories where you live within each of us. With much gratitude, we welcome you. Aho. And now quarter turn to the right in that place in nature, just let your body turn slightly to the right and face south. Now focusing on the warming southern sun, that noonday sun, turning our attention towards summer, the season of courage, the season where we get things done and manifest our visions that we brought forth in the East. So we call upon the good medicine people of the South to assist us in walking forward and bringing our vision into form. We call upon the beautiful ones of the South to help us have courage, to stand in our truth, that place where our thoughts and our feelings and our words and our actions are exactly the same, in the place of playfulness and passion and dancing and movement and all that good medicine in the South. We call upon you this day. We welcome you to this circle, to this global summit, to awaken in this moment within each of us that bone memory where you live as well. With much gratitude, we welcome you. I hope. Now a quarter turn to the right again, we face west. And turning west, we turn toward the setting sun. We turn toward autumn leaves, bright colored on the ground and overhead. We turn toward the time of harvest, the time of nourishment, the time of initiation and change, of jaguar, of bear, of owl. Turning towards the element of water and healing and reconciliation, we call upon these good medicines of the West and acknowledge you this day. We welcome you to this circle, and we invite you and ask that you awaken within each one of us in this global summit, in this very moment, that bone memory where you live as well. With much gratitude, I hope. Now a quarter turn again to the right, we face north, returning toward the sacred mountains, toward the spirit of winter, toward the place of elk and buffalo, toward a place of deep surrender and putting down roots, the place of prayerfulness and gratitude, that place where we let go so completely that spring will simply show up because we let go enough. So we call upon the deep blessings of the north and the spirit of winter. And we invite you into the circle to awaken within each one of us that good medicine, that bone memory where you live as well. With much gratitude, we welcome you. Now turning full circle back around and facing now skywards. We turn toward the heavens, toward the stars, toward the planets, toward the galaxies above. And we call upon Sky Nation, to our star sisters and brothers and others, to awaken within each one of us that individual spark of stardust and genius that we each carry. We call the Grandmother Moon. And we thank you for these teachings that remind us that even in the darkest moments, there is a light that we cannot see. And we thank you for those teachings and reminders of how to bring those things that are often held in shadow and bring them into the light over and over again. And we thank you for that, Grandmother Moon. Grandfather Sun, we call upon you this day. And we thank you for showing up and teaching us how to show up every day, even when it's difficult, to show up and do what needs to get done. We thank you for those teachings of falling down 7 times and getting up 8, always 8. Grandfather Sun, we thank you for your warmth, your encouragement, and that heart fire that burns within each of us. So to the great above and the good medicine people of the great above, we welcome you to this global summit, to this circle. And we ask that you awaken within each one of us that good medicine, that bone memory where you live as well. With much gratitude, we welcome you. I hope. Now we bend down, we touch the ground, we put our feet, our hands in the soil, our belly on the earth. And we say thank you. Thank you, Pachamama. Thank you, Mother Gaia. Thank you for teaching us of home and belonging and place and connection. Thank you for teaching us about the great village and reminding us that scarcity is only an illusion when we live out of balance with you. We call upon the great below and all things green and growing. We offer our gratitude, that place where soil and soul come together in our own name, a place where we remember ourselves as earth and that we are not separate. And we call upon the good medicine people of the great below to awaken within this global summit, this moment, this liminal space, liminal time, the good medicine, the bone memory, where you live as well within each of us. Aho. And now we go out to the land around us, wherever you're sitting, to the mountains, to the rivers, to the forests, through the city streets. We call to the spirits of the land. And we acknowledge this place that we are in, this sacred center. We acknowledge the spirit of the rivers, the stone people, the plant medicine people, the standing tall people, the winged people, the four-legged, two-legged people. And we acknowledge you and thank you for calling us to this place right here, right now, where we offer our stories, our laughter, our tears, our footprints and our heartbeats, with much gratitude to the sacred lands around us and the sacred center that is everywhere. With much gratitude, we welcome you. Aho. Now we acknowledge the ancestors, to those 7 generations behind us, and the 7 generations and beyond in front of us, to those that lived well and died well, and those that are well in spirit at this time, we acknowledge you and we call upon you to assist us in this summit, to give us words of relevance, words of healing, words of remembering. We thank you for dreaming us into this place. We acknowledge and humbly stand upon your shoulders. We thank you for your teardrops, your laughter, and your footprints in heartbeats and dreams that we now carry as our own. And to those generations that stand in front of us, those ancestors, seven generations and beyond in front of us, we acknowledge you as well. And may the way in which we live our lives be a welcome blessing for you when you arrive here. With much gratitude. Aho. And now we acknowledge the great council that sits on the other side of the fire, stirring the coals and keeping them hot in that other world. We thank you for keeping those fires burning and tending those fires over there. And thank you for standing by us. Even when we stumble and fall and start forgetting and have a hard time believing in ourselves or each other, we thank you for continuing to stand by us and believe in us. So may the way in which we live our lives in this sacred moment, in this sacred time, and in the days that follow, be a blessing to all our relations. Blessed be. So take a deep breath. It's all right if you don't feel yourself quite all the way back. Sometimes it's good to keep a foot in that other world, just to let whatever information trails through that world into this world that is useful for us. So you don't have to come all the way back until you get in your car and start driving. Then you want to be all the way back.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Kada. That was so beautiful. Thank you for starting the summit in such a beautiful way. Thank you so much.
My honor. So this sacred place is here, is now, always. And it's given that in the multiple directions of time and space, that means the sacred center of that place is always where we are. And where each of you are is always the sacred center. So before I did the invocation, you asked me a question about the title. Speak the words of the title again, and call it back up into our consciousness.
Yeah, your topic today is Stories in the Stones and Ancestral Threads of Memory, Healing and Belonging.
Stories in the stones. Stones, bones, mineral. I think of it's been many of my teachings and being from elders, indigenous elders and wisdom keepers has reminded me that the stone people are the transponders and transceivers of story and information. As when we go into the Anipi Lodge. And water is poured on the stones and they released. Or when we go to Stonehenge, or when we go to any of the, you know, all of the stone circles throughout Europe, or Newgrange, this ancient sacred burial site, that these stones carry the stories. And in a similar way, we think of our bones as being the stones that we have. And if you've ever heard that phrase, if somebody would say, I know that in my bones, what they're referencing is something that they know in their own bone memory, their own mineral memory, their own stone memory, that is older than them. And they can't quite place how they know it. So we'd say it's kind of ancestral memory to know something in your bones. So the stones, the bones, the minerals, those transponders, transceivers, and amplifiers of energy and information is often when I think of going to physical sacred sites, we're connecting at some level, consciously or subconsciously, to tap into a known vortex of energy that may have been celebrated in that particular place and time for hundreds or thousands of years. And so it's kind of like in science, we know that energy can never be created or destroyed, it just changes form. And so the energy of all that has been in these different sites is still there. And so I think that's part of the gravitational pull toward, reaching for these places, whether it's meditation within ourselves or whether we're actually traveling to a sacred site, that we're reaching for something deeper, some memory that's often embedded in the landscape, in the minerals, deposits of that particular place. And I think also to reference the rest of that title, that there's this again, conscious or not, this gravitational pull, organic pull towards remembering and healing. When we go to these places within ourselves or within our space around us or on the planet. And even if we don't consciously think of it that way, these are things that when we get there, if we can allow ourselves to be still enough and quiet enough and listen deeply enough, there is a remembering and a healing that can begin to happen for each of us. So that's some of the. When I thought about what kind of title to put on our conversation, that was one that came to mind. It's like, what is it about our own sacred space, the bones that make up our structure, and the minerals and the bones and the stones of places around the planet that carry these stories and carry these memories in the land?
Can you, from your experience, share some of these stories? I know you do a lot of like vision quests, going out to nature, sacred sites.
So the in the spirit of the quest, which the word vision quest has many different names throughout history around the planet, whether it's walkabout or hill walking or underworld journeys or this way of going into the natural world, often through methods of fasting, stillness, solitude, and exposure to the natural world, to remember, to listen, to surrender, to pray, to that even that prayer that is one of the most heartfelt prayers when we go into one of these ceremonies, which I always say that the journey begins when we get to the place where we don't know what to do. And so to go to these places, and if our only prayers are tears and our words is that, I don't know what to do. Like that's the place. That's the doorway that opens that allows something greater than our own resourcefulness, our own mind, our own strategizing to enter the field that we're in. And so this doorway, if you will, that is obviously not a physical door, but a door that we can choose to open, a door often encased in our own vulnerability. Reminds me of a poem by Adrienne Rich called The Door. And it goes something like this. Hopefully, I can remember it well, give credit to the poet. Either you will go through this door, or you will not go through. If you go through, there is always a risk of remembering your name. Things will look at you doubly, and you must look back and let them happen. If you do not go through, it is still possible to live a worthy life, to maintain your attitudes and beliefs, and even die bravely. However, much will blind you and much will evade you. and at what cost, who knows? Now, the door itself makes no promises. It's only a door. So the poem speaks to me about this essence of opening something within ourselves, that offers no guarantees of desired destinations or desired acquisitions. As Carlos Castaneda, another favorite author of mine from way back, and said, you know, all, he could say all doors, he says, all roads go to the same place. They all go nowhere. However, some will have heart and some will not. And so this is the kind of door that we're talking about opening. This is the kind of accessing sacred space that we're talking about in terms of a door that's encased often in our own vulnerabilities, often our own things we've grasped hold of, and yet opening offers no guarantees of, as I say, desired destinations or acquisitions. It's just a path. It's just simply going to be a path of heart or not. And so these are, when I think about engaging sacred space and time, it is really a shift of attention that opens that door, a way of giving our attention to the moment in a different way than ordinary consciousness that opens this door. So it can be done through meditation. It can be done through rites of passage, going up on the mountain, like in the vision fast, vision quest ceremony, through fasting, through prayer. It can happen in a split second with a time of day or a particular weather pattern, where all of a sudden you feel this something has shifted in the moment, and you're looking at everything around you in nature or your surroundings with different eyes, and that everything all of a sudden becomes your teacher, and with a curiosity and with let's say the eyes of the animate, which is a particular way of accessing the sacred, is through animus, what we call animus or animate way of relating, so that everything becomes alive. So often, first we have to unlearn a lot of things. Most of my apprenticeship, the first half of my apprenticeship was always involved with forgetting stuff that I thought I knew. And then learning new stuff that, and then forgetting that. And then, and then it becomes about paying attention to the moment. So this, so yeah, we're at one of the ceremonies we offer is the vision fast or prayer fast or vision quest of guiding people, preparing people to go up on the mountain for 4 days and nights, in solitude. And, so there's a lot of ceremonial preparation, to get them to that place. And often the preparation, there are various things, ceremonies of preparation we do, but the larger scope of how do you prepare to open that door has a lot to do with what I call allying yourself with death. Not in any morbid sense where we're, you know, worried about it, but to truly see death as an ally means that it enables us to be totally present to living. Like all of a sudden, if I was conscious that, you know, death is just over my left shoulder, as it is for all of us, and we don't know when it's going to tap us for the most part, then how precious is this moment that you and I have right here? You know, it will never happen again. And how precious is everything, the sunset, the raindrops on the leaves, like everything, as Einstein said, I think said, everything's a miracle or nothing's a miracle. So there's this way of embracing our own mortality as a way to engage a full life. We say, don't be afraid of death, be afraid of the unlived life. And so these are methods of opening that door, opening the door to the sacred space, sacred time, that could be done in a vortex of known sacred places around the world, or simply in your backyard, or within your own body temple. When you close your eyes, you can just open that door. And then once it's open, listening. It's another, I often talk about stones and listening. We in our culture, or in our even our attempts to connect with nature, we're reaching out to make connection. And it's often seen as an active thing. But I would say once you make connection, then sit back and let it reach for you. Let it come to you. And once you make that connection, and listen to see what the ears of your heart remind you of. So in this way, that it's a relationship of reciprocity, instead of seeing nature as a psychological metaphor, or as something that has something to offer us, but to go in to connect with these places from the spirit of reciprocity. Like when you go to a sacred site, touch the ground, say thank you, maybe leave a little offering of something nondescript and yet meaningful from your heart that you just place there. If you want to open up an animus consciousness, and by when I say animus or animate, it's a way of it's the consciousness of our ancestors. This way of seeing everything as an alive, conscious, participatory relationship. One of the challenges of at least the English language is that we have use of lots and lots of nouns. And often in early cultures, early societies, they had maybe three times as many verbs as we have nouns. And so when you speak from a relationship of action, of verb, there's always this constant flux of engagement that's happening. It's not labeled, it's not, even worse, categorized and put on a shelf. There, it's in motion, it's in movement. Even people's names sometimes reflected or reflected more as a verb, because there's this way of continual change and evolving and showing up that we have to pay attention to. And often we struggle with falling asleep once we place stories and categories on ourselves or on each other. It's what I call trapping yourself in a story. By defining yourself a particular way, or trapping somebody else in a story. And to the point you think you know who they are, even if you've been with them for 40 years. Say calling on that good medicine of the East, where say with our personal relationships, of dropping all the stories you have about somebody and see if you can hold them in your perceptual field without pinning a story to them. And it will likely startle you what shows up in front of your eyes. Because when you don't have a story, you're much more available to the mystery and the beauty that is before you in each of us and nature. and it's what I call forgetting the names of things. It's often an assignment I will give my students. I said, it's great that you know all the names of these trees and plants and birds and things. Now, I want you to go out there and find one of these beings and forget the name, as it, and look at it as if you have no idea what to call it. And notice this engagement of how you're held in this dynamic relational context of energy when you can't, put a name on it. And often people come back and tell me how something they didn't know could move, like a rock or a tree, all of a sudden look like it moved.
Wow.
So there's, I love the concept of your summit being about sacred space, and which is, sacred space is connected to sacred time because they kind of go hand in hand. But this way of liminal space, liminal time, being outside of time, outside of space, in moments of deep, heartful connection, holding our child, losing track of time. It's like, oh, it felt like just a minute, and all of a sudden an hour's gone by, or watching a sunset or a sunrise, and it seemed like no time at all, or the reverse, getting up with your children weary to the bone hour after hour during a long night, and it seems like the night lasted forever, and yet hardly any time went by at all. So there's this, it's not always comfortable, this shift in time and place, but it does access something. And so for me, whether it's the Vision Quest ceremony or a medicine walk in nature or traveling to places like Stonehenge or Newgrange or sacred stone circles or certain mountains, we can go to those places and not have much experience at all. We can just stay in our heads and think about it because we haven't opened the door within ourselves. And yet, if we can again get still enough and shift our attention, and then even practicing forget the name of the place and of what's in front of you, and just notice it, just be there with it and let it notice you. And something different often happens. Something, one of my, Stephen Foster, one of my early mentors, he said, if you ever want to make a place in nature sacred, you must go there and stay there long enough and until you notice the details of everything around you. And then the details of everything around you notice you. And then in that relational energy, it becomes sacred. I have there's a poem I want to share that reminds me of that. It's called Arrival. And it's one I wrote back in 2017 when I was reflecting on this very thing about sacred space. It says, when the land and the creatures around you become a place of belonging, you will finally have arrived home. The honeybee and the raven know your name. The smell of lilac beside the garden fence invites you to remember long, still summers. To know belonging, to truly know belonging, is not a matter of how deeply you notice your surroundings or what you can tell me about this place. To say that you truly belong to a place is to become authentically familiar to the ones who live there. To allow yourself to be deeply seen and noticed. Be still and listen, they say. You have descended from the love of thousands. Stand humbly upon their shoulders, like a mountain upon the earth, and they will find you. And one day, when you are awakened in the night, in the quiet and dark liminal space between dreams, you will hear the prayers of your great-great-grandchildren looking for home. as well. So let the way in which you live your life now be an answer to those prayers. So again, this accessing sacred space for me has always been about just a simple shift in attention. I think it's part of the other in my other background in this life. I've been a licensed clinical therapist and a licensed addictions therapist, and I've also noticed that a lot of people tend to their pursuit of chemicals or addictions that often kind of hijack their lives. That often what I notice they're really in pursuit of is the experience of being alive. Even with this, I guess the current attraction to working with plant medicine, which is very powerful medicine. And requires, deep relationship with the spirit of the plant. But it can give one that full experience of an aliveness they never knew was possible. And yet, how do we create that sense of that experience of aliveness with a simple shift of our attention, our intention and attention, and open that door? At will. And I think that's what interests me is in my many walks in nature and wilderness is to have those moments where I just intend to shift it. And then all of a sudden this world of information, of experience, of aliveness, of miracles everywhere around me all of a sudden become visible. And also sometimes there is something that comes into the field that has that is not dependent on my beliefs or perceptions, be it a physical creature, again, a particular kind of animal, or something else that all of a sudden enters the field that doesn't seem to worry itself about whether I believe or don't believe or whether I have thought about it. Just and I've noticed those moments. Often in doing rituals and outdoors in nature, I've had many experiences where animals will come in close, be it a mountain lion, a bear, an eagle, a hawk, a rabbit, a skunk, and flashing on a funny memory of doing a ritual late at night by a fire, with a skunk that came out and joined at the fire with me, and it was just me and the skunk. And I was praying, and the skunk was hanging out there. And then when I finished, the skunk walked off. And I said, "How is it that skunk came out of here?" That's just one of many stories like that. That where, and what I realized, what I hold to be I guess, a knowing about that from watching those experiences happen over and over, is that I think when we enter into an authentic way of being within ourselves and in context with our natural world, that we become recognizable to the beings of the wild. And they have no difficulty about coming in and hanging out with us when we're in that place. It's when we're in a state of angst or not really conscious of our present moment, then they usually stay away. They don't come anywhere near. But in those moments of authentic vulnerability and presence, it has always surprised me of how the natural world just kind of joins in, and what always interesting what shows up and who shows up in those moments. So again, I think about no matter where you live out there or in what context, that sacred space and going to sacred space is first and foremost a shift of attention. Again, through meditation or with the mind, with practice, you can do it just simply by intending it. And to go to actual sacred sites around the planet where There are certain vortexes of energy where this is kind of like a proven path. You can go here, and so it helps to activate those moments because there's a lot of energy in these different places that hold that frequency. So it's fascinating conversation.
Yeah, definitely. Wow, I just love everything you've said and really resonate. And yeah, just having a relationship, with our environment, with nature. And I love what you said, don't put a story to anything. That's like we're already putting boundaries when we put a story to a person, to an animal, to nature. So I love this, the shift of give it no name, Yeah, it's
Yeah,
beautiful.
give it your attention, your gratitude, your a state of reciprocity. Even in popular circles like these, where people will talk, well, I saw hawk and wonder what the message hawk had for me. Or when I saw beaver and I wonder what message beaver had for me. And we're still operating from this kind of egocentric place that we think they're showing up because they have something for us. It's like a child. It's like, well, what if Hawk was coming to ask something of you, not simply to offer you something? What if Beaver wants you to clean up this river near your house? And so again, reciprocity of relationship, not just to apply our egocentric thinking to engaging with sacred time and space in that way. So I always say in my medicine bag, I always carry offerings of some kind or another to just leave or say thank you and when I'm working with the ancestors, particularly my ancestors, my offering, I always carry chocolate because I know that's a in my lineage that goes straight to the heart of things.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, I'll remember that. Yeah, to take offerings. Yeah, I've also now started saying asking permission to touch a tree or a hug a tree before hugging a tree. And one mentor I had, he said always ask permission before you hug the tree or touch the tree, and then afterwards say thank you. And that again is a shift of perspective, right?
Right. It's
Yeah.
not just there to serve us.
Yeah.
And I would add kind of those protocols of engagement in that way is when going to a tree or a particular land or a place to identify yourself. Say, I am and speak your name. And I am here. What's my intention? I'm here to get to know this place. And I brought this offering. I think the same way I learned about meeting elders in different culture, you show up with an offering and you offer gratitude for their sitting with you and you place an offering in their hand and you say thank you. And you do all that before ever making any requests. There's this gratitude and reciprocity that comes before any type of request follows. And then once the request comes, or once you make a request, then to really listen and take in. It's like to hug a tree or touch a tree or sit with the river. I call the river that flows on our land here, it's called the Ivy River, and I call it Grandmother Ivy. And anytime I bring groups of people here, we go, one of the things we do the first morning at sunrise, we'll go down to the river. Have people place their hands and rub the soil of the minerals in the river into the oil of their hands, and then place it back in the water and speak their name, and then make an offering. We usually offer milk and honey or something to the river. So there's this introduction, there's this a reciprocity of gifting, and all that's done before any request. And then following the request to then, as I say, then sit back, like if it's to hug the tree and you get yes, And then once you do that and you sit back, now sit there and let the tree reach for you. And it's a whole different mindset to sit. Everything has an energy field, right? And so the field of this tree, or the field that you're now part of with this tree, with these stones, with this river, is connecting with you. And we talk about an animate or animus way of thinking, in that everything is living and conscious. Wish I could credit the. I listened to a podcast recently, and the conversation was around this idea of animism. And they spoke of what we think of as normative consciousness, like modern conscious thought. Has mostly, if not completely, formed after this separation from the natural world. So what we think is normal, conscious, relational understanding of our relationship to ourselves and creation, if we think of the entire evolution of human consciousness, it might be like 1/10 of 1% is where we are now, what we hold. And that 99.99% of consciousness has actually been, of human consciousness, has been more animism. So when we think of what's the normal way of thinking about things, well, it's not how we hold reality now. It's actually a much more live, vibrant, relational way of engaging, that we've lost, over the past 600, 800 years, lost connection with, seeing our surroundings in this way. So it is a return to something that is in your bones, a way of being, a way of thinking, a way of relating, that has relationship to it, you know.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are returning and feeling the bones. Yeah, to our true nature, our true sacred nature. Yeah, that's so true. Kada, from your perspective, I know you mentioned people are looking for aliveness. So what are other reason you feel people often feel called to visit sacred sites around the world?
Well, the feeling of being alive. There is this interesting thing that happens with travel, that probably gets even exacerbated with visiting different sacred sites, is that when we're traveling, for instance, I did an interview many years ago about traveling, and the ladies asked me the question, why is it that magic seems to happen when you're traveling? And it doesn't happen the same way when you're not, when you're just at home. And I thought about it, I said, I think it's because we don't know what's around the corner when we're traveling. So there's this way that we're giving attention to the present moment, without an expectation or a story, where we're totally alive to what's around the corner. We haven't seen it before. We haven't been there before. We don't have a story. And so we're more available to the experience of aliveness, to the experience of magic, to the experience of synchronicities, that seem to be beyond explanation. We make ourselves more available because we're outside of our habitual thought process when we travel. So I think there's something enticing and that calls us in that way to visit these places. Something in us wakes up. I would also pose that particular sacred sites you go to, that they themselves have called you there. That like when I am asked to come different places around the world to do a ceremony, a different place, the way I think about it is that the person has called me up, or we've chatted, or in some way, and they invited me. But what I understand is that something in the land there has tapped them on the shoulder, and they formulated an idea, let's do this. And so when I respond to it, when I eventually go to that land, I will ask, where on this land would you consider that the elder, the stone outcropping, the tree, like where is the place on this land that if you were to say was the elder of this land, where would that be? And they'll tell me someplace, and then I'll go there on the land and make an offering and speak my name and say, I'm here. Thank you for calling me here. I'm listening. And the reason so when it comes to visiting sacred sites, of course there are tens and hundreds of thousands of known sacred sites. But what are the ones that call your name? And when you get there to respond in that way, relationally, to take a small offering, to say, speak your name and say, I'm here. Thank you for calling. I'm listening now. What would you have me hear? What action would you have me take? What is it? How can I pay attention now that I'm here? Because there's often something in that relationship, in that connection, that is medicine for you in particular. And it could be to reconcile ancestral memories, which don't always feel comfortable often when you first have them. So people might get jarred by whatever it was in a place or a time and feel like a memory or a feeling that they can't attach to anything in the present moment. It's like, so there, this is the healing part. There's memory and there's healing. So the memories and the healings of reconciliation is what calls us to these places. And if we open, if we avail ourselves to them, we can do that. And it's like there's a healing that they have, that it has to offer us, a reconciliation. And there's something we have to offer back. It's not just one way. And I think, so paying attention to the places that do call you, because there's a million places that aren't calling you. And so the one that is, already knows your name. And there's something there for you. If you pay attention, if you listen, when you arrive. And again, I encourage those protocols of arriving, to touch the ground, to make an offering, to speak your name, and to listen, and pay attention, in a different way to what's going on there. And then I would add this one last thing around that is that once doing that, ask the question, what action shall I take now? And that's a different question than what does this mean? What does this mean is not a construct of absolute. Meaning is fluid like water. It changes, it flows. You can't really grab hold of it for too long because it's going to be different next week. And if you do fix a meaning, you've only fooled yourself and you've trapped yourself in a story about a place. So what I've learned is that while meaning can be important, what is actually can be more engaging is asking the question in light of this connection, in light of this experience, creator, spirit, whatever your reference is, your sacred higher power, in light of this experience, what action would you have me take right now? And it's what I call activating a conversation with the sacred. And when I say right now, I don't mean like with your life. That's way too big. And not necessarily this week. I mean, like, if you really want to bring it in close, like right now, like you're standing there in this place, and it may say, the guidance may come in. I want you to walk up to that rock and turn and face the west and the setting sun at this particular time. Well, you don't know why, but you just go do it. And what you're doing is you're putting yourself on a conversational thread of guidance. And sometimes you get to find out why. That's, I always say that's icing on the cake. But you're in this conversational thread of guidance in those places that you can lean into. You know, like a tree's thirsty for water or sunlight, you're going to lean towards it and then follow that. You know, and then you may often learn more about, you know, what it is that calls you to this particular place on the planet that has called you here. But to engage it relationally as opposed to kind of an object or a or something separate. That may help, that makes sense.
Wow, thank you so much for this wisdom, knowledge. Yeah, fantastic conversation. I could go on and on, but listening to you, but I'm conscious of the time. So just the final words on what messages, you know, you've been to many sacred sites, what messages have, you know, are you bringing for the world, for example, for us?
In a way, I think we're all looking for home. That deeper river that flows beneath a lot of our actions and directions and things, and so this looking for home, and in a way, the best that we have to offer each other is a little bit of walking each other home. I think it's a phrase somebody said one time, but along the way. And so these moments, these sacred places, these sacred times, I guess remember that we're each on the on the Camino de Santiago, we're each on the pathway to the sacred. However we're bumbling and getting there and stumbling, or whether we're more intentional and focused, and I would say the three most important things that I've learned and still as an exercise and practice is pay attention.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for all that wisdom. And finally, I know you have a free gift for us, the singing stone. Would you like to share more details on your free gift and how people can access it?
Follow the link that will be that you'll offer people, and the link will take you away to sign up to receive the download of a story. It's a drumming story that I tell with myself and my drum, tell a story that's called Singing Stone. And it's a story of the initiatory journey of remembering and accessing the medicine that you came into this world to offer. So it's it's a beautiful story. Has its roots and origins in on this continent and Native American culture. Its original source is anonymous, and as most storytellers have greatly embellished the story, but remain true to the plot line. So hope you'll enjoy it. It's a wonderful story.
I'm sure it is. And so everyone, please click on the link below and to access Kader's free gift, and also you know, get more details from his website. Everything is available beneath the this interview, so please go ahead and check out all the services, the services that Kader offers everyone, and the great work that he's doing for the world. So please do go ahead and check his website out. So Kader, I just want to thank you so much for this beautiful conversation.
Thank you.
and such deep wisdom and knowledge that you've shared with us. And it certainly has changed my perspective of how I connect and relate with nature, with sacred sites. And I hope everyone, has changed your perspective too. And yeah, just listen and give it no name and see where that takes you and what wisdom and knowledge you gain from all these sacred sites and from our beautiful planet, Mother Gaia.
Thank you. Thank you
So,
for the work you're
thank
doing.
you. Thank you, Kato, and thank you everyone for joining us today, and I wish you a fantastic day. Thank you. Goodbye.